Hello, podcast listeners. We're back with attorney Amy Lynn Reese discussing not prenuptial agreements, not marriage, but in this episode, we're discussing dissolution and divorce. When you should consider a mediator versus a matrimonial lawyer. I hope you enjoy.
Moving onward to the dissolution.
Now, you could argue that's what this episode was about, although it actually is not what it's about, because there's these preliminary stages, and I think you were the one that emphasized, we're not just all of a sudden at divorce. And this isn't always just at divorce. But again, audience, my intention was sort of to take care of us and to protect women, professional women that I see getting hurt, somehow getting the raw end of the deal, or not being educated about how to take care of themselves in this specific realm. Go.
So for dissolution, we have another feminem. Financial house in order.
Okay.
Now, these are steps that we've talked about. Hopefully, you already have done them in the creative and sustainable phase somewhat.
Okay.
Which would be, though, specifically here, collecting 5 years of income tax returns, account statements, credit card statements, deeds to real property, beneficiary designations, wills, life insurance statements.
Okay.
Now, sometimes people have none of those and they go to a lawyer and then the lawyer takes the steps to get them.
Okay.
Because in a divorce, you're entitled to full financial disclosure.
Okay.
And you will get those documents. But when you walk into a lawyer, if you already have this packet of information and you know what your expenses are, your monthly budget, what your assets are, your debts, and you have the tax returns, that gets you pushed ahead more than 4 months and cuts your legal bills substantially.
Okay.
And you get to talk substantively from the start, as opposed to just saying, being really upset that there's a dissolution of marriage, as well as you have no idea what you spend or what assets there are to divide.
Okay. At this point, are you a matrimonial lawyer or are you a mediator? And when, how do I know which one to go to and what to do?
Great question. It is in my feminem mnemonic,
oh,
and I'm going to get to it.
So excited about the mnemonic.
Okay. So I'm just going to travel along my letters and we'll get there. E was for electronic communications. Be very cautious of electronic communications. At any point that it seems
we're talking about email. Be careful
email,
what you put.
But also
texts,
talking about Facebook.
Text.
Talking about anything that's digital.
Got it.
Okay? Because assume if you're in a difficult situation, anything you write could be before a judge.
Yeah.
Just assume that. And think about that when you're writing it. If you're very upset with your spouse, if you're writing to a friend, just remember anything could be multiplied and published amongst people that you don't want to see it.
Do you have a horror story you could share?
As far as horror stories, there are plenty of situations where people will tell a spouse that they're going on a business trip, and then the spouse can see on Facebook that they're actually swimming in a lake someplace that they had no idea.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you think that's so obvious that somebody wouldn't do it. People do it.
All the time.
M is a matrimonial-focused attorney. Now, this will address one of your questions that you were asking. So when you're going through a divorce, or you may have a breakdown in the marriage, there's several different ways that you could proceed. I call them the shuns.
Oh.
There's litigation, mediation, collaboration, negotiation, arbitration.
It's a lot of shuns.
It's a lot of shuns.
Right.
Litigation.
Okay.
Litigation is when each side has an attorney and there's a breakdown in negotiations and you go to court.
Okay.
Negotiation. You each have an attorney who the attorneys talk for you and they try to resolve the settlement.
Okay.
Mediation. In mediation, there's a mediator who's a neutral facilitator who typically meets with both parties together. But in the background, there's usually a consulting attorney.
Huh.
Some people who don't have the financial means to pay for three professionals may just try to use a mediator.
Right. That's what I've seen.
Okay. Now, mediators can be lawyers, or sometimes there's even therapists who are mediators. There are some therapists who draft agreements which may not be kosher.
Okay.
So if you're going to a mediator, it's helpful to go to a mediator who is a lawyer.
Okay.
Sometimes lawyers and therapists, mental health people kind of team up. But the lawyer needs to know matrimonial law and be a specialist in that area.
Okay.
And then it's helpful to have a consulting attorney who may coach you throughout, or you may just talk to occasionally and show them the final agreement. Collaboration is when both sides go to an attorney, but the attorneys agree not to litigate. So it keeps you out of court. The downside is that if you don't come to an agreement, you have to start all over.
Wow.
And then there's arbitration. And many times people confuse arbitration with mediation.
Right.
Arbitration is when there's one person who will decide what happens. As opposed to in mediation, the parties are really taking charge of their settlement. And many times an arbitrator may be a retired judge. It's more like a private court in a way, and you don't have to follow the strict rules of evidence that you do if you're in court. So who you go to, just like whatever kind of doctor you go to, will impact how long something takes, how much it costs, and the strategy involved. Oftentimes, even if you're going to go to mediation, it's helpful to go to a lawyer first who gives you your own explanation of what your rights are, also explains the process to you, and it's always helpful to ask how much something costs and how long it takes. And just to be clear, in a divorce, because what happens and why they get blown up is because...
What do you mean by blown up?
Blown up is a divorce that takes a long time. There's a lot of negativity between two parties. It costs a lot. No one understands really what's going on.
Got it.
That's blown up, okay? So what's happening there, there could be a few different things, but keep in mind that a basic divorce is really about division of assets. Is there support or not? What happens with debts? Who stays in the home, what assets are valued. That's the financial side. And then if there are children, there's the physical custody of the children and the legal custody, which is decision-making. Those are the two primary parts, and then all the different details of parenting. But what gets interwoven into those very concrete items are, unfortunately, revenge, anger, and resentment.
Right.
And that's what causes, oftentimes, divorces to take so long. They can also take long if there is a complicated financial picture here,
yep,
where assets have to be valued, or they're scattered in different countries, or there's a business, a medical practice. That takes a little bit longer as well.
What do women in medicine, women physicians, need to be particularly aware of? You've given this amazing framework of the creativity, the sustainability, the dissolution, no judgment regarding where people are on each stage and where they may go in terms of each stage. But going back to sort of the original impetus for bringing a subject matter expert on matrimonial law and mediation on the program, you know, I'm a woman physician. I've just finished my training. What should I keep in mind? Like, can you sort of boil it down to some summary recommendations?
So things you want to keep in mind, and actually this goes back to the beginning, are you going to have your own practice? And if you're going to have your own practice, would you ever want that practice valued if there was a dissolution?
And if we were to focus it more on emergency physicians in general, that's not most of us what we'll have. So say, assume we're not going to have our own private practice. We're going to be either a hospital employee or working with a group practice that is contracted to work for a hospital emergency department.
So the issues would be understand, because those people that you're referring to, right,
The feminems
are really busy.
Yes.
And sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, the finances may not be their focus.
Correct.
So that's where you can get hurt if you just have no idea, because you're just trying to get through the day, through each emergency.
Yeah.
And somebody else is handling the budget and the expenses and all of those pieces, right? So being educated about how you're living, because some people have no idea. Some people don't know, well, could I stay in the home, or would we have to sell the home? How would I support myself? How would I support the kids? The issue about debts incurred during the marriage from either side. How much is the partner spending? Where are the assets going? Whose name are they in? So it's really about having the information and the education, which if you do it incrementally, then you're well prepared. And in this situation that you're talking about, would you say that the person, the feminine, is earning more than the other person?
Unknown. I'm just sort of, you know, I read a book when I finished training about finances, actually, and about how to get things in order, because we're not taught about this in medicine, and often there's debt. And so I think someone listening to this episode who's like, okay, where should I get started? You know, like, something negative in terms of an outcome with my relationship is not even on the horizon. It's not in my mind, but I want to just be careful. I want to practice preventative medicine. It sounds like what I'm hearing is educate yourself, become financially aware of yourself, of your partner, of what you're doing on a regular basis in the present, maybe what your goals are from the future, but don't just ignore it. Don't just abandon it. Don't leave it to someone else. Make sure you stay in that conversation and in that, keep responsibility for your finances and your partner's finances.
And I'm also going to add to that, know how much you're earning and how much you're spending. This may seem very basic, mm-hmm. but the amount of people who charge on a credit card without knowing how much they're netting per month, and then they don't understand why they're not saving. So having an idea, this is how much we'll be spending on our card per month, and keeping it within a budget so that you can force some savings. We're going to put aside X dollars. This is where it's going to go. Having knowledge about what's going into a 529 account for children. It's the credit card is a really big issue, mm-hmm. because people sometimes think it's not real, it's just a swipe, mm-hmm. and that you don't have to pay it. And credit card debt, along with student loan debt, really makes a divorce difficult,
mm-hmm.
because part of a divorce, which, again, this seems obvious sometimes, but for some reason, sometimes when people split, they're not completely aware that it's so much more expensive to maintain two homes. And for people who are having trouble maintaining one home, and then you're dividing it into two homes, duplicating cable, utilities, rent, there's an expense factor there that sometimes people end up actually staying together because they can't afford to divorce.
Yep.
Just so in the divorce process, we have the financial house in order, electronic communications, matrimonial focused attorney. What's in is two things. Be wary: amicable divorces and apps. And amicable divorces, just to be wary. Sometimes I've had situations where someone says, I want an amicable divorce. And an amicable divorce to them means following everything they want to do.
Right.
So don't just be taken by those buzzwords, which I'm sure you've read about frequently. And apps, there are apps such as Family Wizard, which help divorce families to maintain all of the financial information in one place, as well as their communications. And a lot of people speak highly of it. E is for evaluating your options, which we talked about with all the different shuns.
Mm-hmm. I like the shuns.
And M is move forward in small increments. There's a tempo to a divorce, and sometimes people, when they're very emotional, they do a lot is they want it over with, and it may exacerbate the situation. Mm-hmm. So there's a time frame, and people want it done so fast, but understand that it's a process and that you can't change the past. You could just create a new chapter going forward. And finally, when I started out as an associate, I remember working on a case and two different cases, and I went into the partner saying, this one settlement just doesn't seem fair. And he said to me, Amy, fair ends at 10, when you're 10 years old. And since then, I really express this to clients quite often, that sometimes people want a judge to hear their story. Sometimes people hold on to what's fair in their mind, but you need to be cognizant of how much every fight's going to cost, how long it's going to take, and a fair result is really something that is meaningful to yourself that you could live with and move forward in the most empowered way possible.
So, Amy, thank you. This has been an abundance of information, a lot of new terms, and I love words, so thank you for that. I think this has given a lot of audience members things to think about, maybe approaches to their current relationships that they hadn't thought about. I do think a lot of people are going to wonder, well, where do I go? How can I find an Amy? You've given us the specific recommendation of you have to get someone in your own state. Mm-hmm. You have to find out the laws of your state. How else can people access a matrimonial professional?
Okay. So there are sites such as the AAML, the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, and the APFM, the Academy of Professional Family Mediators, mediate.com. But I'm going to say that the best source of information is really either friends who have gone through divorce or professionals. A majority of my referrals will come from other lawyers who I've worked with or from clients. Mm-hmm. And it's rare that I will get clients from the internet, but most of the times people are more comfortable coming to me when they know somebody who I represented. Mm-hmm. Or there, it could be a doctor, it could be a lawyer, it could be an accountant, but a variety of professionals who refer lawyers to people in need.
Great. Amy, final recommendations and thoughts for our audience.
I know you love books, Risa, so I thought of three books that can be helpful at different junctures.
Fantastic.
One is called Crazy Times by Abigail Trafford.
Okay.
One is Putting Children First by Joanne Pedro Carroll. Mm-hmm. And one is I Hear You by Michael S. Sorensen, The Surprisingly Simple Skill Behind Extraordinary Relationships.
Great. And with that, it's till we talk again.